So Prabhupada explains in the purport, two persons, one in Krishna consciousness and the other in material consciousness, working on the same level may appear to be working on the same platform, but there is a wide gulf of difference in their respective positions. The person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he is the doer of everything. He does not know that the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature, which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. The materialistic person has no knowledge that ultimately he is under the control of Krishna. The person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently. And that is the symptom of his nescience. He does not know that this gross and subtle body is the creation of material nature, under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as such, his bodily and mental activities should be engaged in the service of Krishna in Krishna consciousness. The ignorant man forgets that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Rishikesha, our master of the senses, of the material body. For due to his long misuse of the senses and sense gratification, he is factually bewildered by the false ego, which makes him forget his eternal relationship with Krishna. So this chapter is called Karma Yoga. Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasha Ahankara Vimudatma Kartahamiti Manyate. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. So Prabhupada, the previous verses, so as not to disturb the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruit of results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So, Om Agyanata Marandasya Gyanam Gyana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Marumbhistam Shabhidam Minam Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svambhatantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the whole emphasis of the Bhagavad Gita is based upon discrimination. Intelligence means power of discrimination. How to discriminate. Just like, what is the difference between an animal and a human? Is that an animal cannot discriminate, you see? He cannot discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. Therefore, an animal cannot be arrested. It's foolish to arrest an animal. Because even if you arrest him, how will he know whether he did right or wrong? He'll think you're simply torturing him. You see, suppose a dog bites another dog and then you arrest him. Is there any purpose in arresting him? Will it achieve anything? You see, you can't say that after 1 year in prison, he'll begin to think, I shouldn't have bit that dog. That's why I'm suffering. You see, he won't think like that. So there's no point in arresting a dog or a cat or a squirrel or a turkey or whatever you want to arrest. What's the point in arresting? It'd be funny if you had a police force that were, their only job was to catch squirrels who might be having illicit sex or found intoxicating themselves on nuts. There'd be no point. So discrimination comes with intelligence. The dhamma buddhi. Buddhi means intelligence. So what is intelligence, you see? What is intelligence? The word buddhi is used, buddhi, the dhamma buddhi. So this buddhi intelligence means the power to actually discriminate between what is material and what is spiritual. Atata Brahma Jignasya, now we have human life. You see, we no longer have animal life, although our bodies are like animals. We have the same, we're doing the same as animal, but we no longer have animal life because we have responsibility. What is the meaning of responsibility? The ability to respond, isn't it? Think about it. What's the meaning of responsibility? The ability to respond. If you can't respond, then you're not responsible, are you? Isn't it? Just like if a man is intoxicated, then when he goes to prison, he says, "Oh, Your Honor, I was drunk. I didn't know I hit that fellow with a bottle. Actually, I thought it was a newspaper in my hand." So he tries to get out of the responsibility by saying, "I was intoxicated." Or someone may say that, "Oh, I murdered that my wife's lover because of anger. I couldn't control it." It's called a crime of passion. In France, you can be freed on the grounds of a crime of passion. In UK, they don't allow it. So one may be too angry because of passion. So you can say that I wasn't responsible. What they call diminished responsibility, isn't it? In law, we call it diminished responsibility. So when responsibility is diminished, just like a child cannot be put in the same category because the responsibility is diminished. Now, why diminished? Because there's not adequate development. There's not adequate development of intelligence. The child is not intelligent to know that this thing is wrong, this thing is right. So, therefore, responsibility means ability to respond. Now, what is that basis of responsibility? It's based on knowledge. You see, unless there's knowledge, unless there's education, just like in some cultures, they eat their grandparents when they get hungry on Sunday feast. They put their grandfather in the boiling pot and eat him. Yes, it's a cultural accepted activity. It's nothing wrong with it at all. So that's because in those cultures, they're primitive cultures, but still, because they don't have adequate knowledge to know that it's not very good to cook your grandfather for Sunday feast. You see? Just like some people are eating animals and they're saying, "Oh, I don't know. I just eat them." See? It's not my fault. I buy them in Asda's. So Asda's, blame them. Don't blame me. I'm just eating. See? So the whole thing is based on knowledge. If people are not properly educated, therefore Krishna says, Rajavidya Rajaguyam, that this knowledge of spiritual life is Rajavidya. Vidya means knowledge. Raja means the king of all knowledge. So knowledge also has a king. Everything has a culmination, the culmination of knowledge. Therefore, we call Vedanta. What is the meaning of Veda? Veda means knowledge, and Anta means the end of knowledge. Knowledge also has a conclusion. Otherwise, it's useless. Just like you may have so much knowledge about a car, but if you can't put the engine together, what's the point, isn't it? You may know all about the engine components, but if you can't assemble an engine, what is the use of your knowledge? Your car will never go anywhere because that knowledge will always be incomplete. So there is complete knowledge and incomplete knowledge. Complete knowledge, that is called Purna. Purna means complete. God is complete. And therefore, the knowledge of God must also be complete. You see, it can't be incomplete. We mustn't have incomplete knowledge because it's dangerous. Sometimes they say in English, a little knowledge is dangerous, isn't it? If someone's performing open heart surgery on you and they're using a knife and fork, and you say, "My goodness, why are you using a knife and fork? Oh, I couldn't find anything else." You become a little worried about your heart. But so there are the little knowledge is not enough. Must be adequate knowledge. So this is called science. We use the word science, scientist, one who is science. So Ananta, Vedanta, means the end of all knowledge. So the end of all knowledge, Rajavidya Rajaguyam, Pavitam Itam Uttamam, Pavitram, means very, very pure. That knowledge must be very, very pure. That knowledge which is the king of all education. Just like we are learning a lot of things in school, but is it pure? Is that knowledge pure? What is the meaning of purity of knowledge? Just like one may say, "Yes, I've learnt a lot of things, A crook also learns a lot of things, a thief. There are many politicians, they learn a lot of things. But are they pure? You see? Are they pure? So what is that pure knowledge? Then it goes on to say the pure knowledge because it gives direct perception to the self. You see? In other words, that the real knowledge that gives connection to the self, that is pure. Because everything else is avidya. What we call vidya, vidya means knowledge related to the self. And avidya means that knowledge which is not related to the self. So we have vast amounts of knowledge, but they're not related to the self. They're related to the body. Just like you have a bird in a cage, and you're shining the outside of the cage very nicely. But the bird inside is dying because you're not feeding him, you're not cleaning him. You're just polishing the outside of the cage. Meanwhile, the bird is getting more and more neglected. Similarly, the body is the outer cage. So we are very interested in the outer cage, the body. But that knowledge related to the self, that knowledge is not so easy to come by. Just like there are many schools and universities and colleges that are dealing with economic development and social sciences, material sciences. But that science of the self, that is very rare because there is a lack of understanding of what is the self. So here Krishna is giving that knowledge of the self. So therefore the science of Bhagavad Gita is very, very important. So Krishna is saying that this knowledge is the king of all education because it gives direct perception to the self through what? Through realization. So there are different types of knowledge also. Realized knowledge. Now, realized knowledge means that that knowledge which is not relative to the body. Just like in the material world, all knowledge is relative. Relative means dependent. Just like you have your relatives. They're your dependents. Or you're their dependents. There's some dependency, isn't there? Just like the child is relative to the father and mother because the child is dependent upon the father and mother. Child is not independent. You see, later on, at a certain stage, the child can become independent. But generally, most people are dependent. Just like my body is dependent. I'm dependent on water, air, I'm dependent on food, I'm dependent on clothes, I'm dependent on heat and cold, I'm dependent on happiness, I'm dependent upon my health, disease, that I don't have disease. I'm dependent on so many things. If you study your body, it has many dependencies, many dependencies. You're dependent on money. If you haven't got money, then as Chanakya Pandit says, a man who doesn't have money in this world, everything is vacant. You see? Just like hotel, no vacancy. There's everything that's vacant here. Nobody wants anyone with no money because money is the honey, isn't it? If you have honey, you can have some sweetness. So you have to have money to have some honey. So money is also there. So we are dependent on money, we're depending on food, we're dependent on the government. Just like if the government is corrupt, we become disturbed, they're taking too much tax. Just like now they're squeezing the taxes and people are crying every year, more and more tax, tax, tax. And what are they doing? Nothing has changed, really. You see, taking tax, squeezing blood, but nothing has changed. Just like if you go to a hospital and they keep taking pints of blood out of you, but you keep getting sicker and sicker, then what is the point? So they're giving more and more and more and more tax. So in this way, the dependency on the government, dependency on, these are called adidevaka, adibhautika, adiatmika kleshas. They are dependency on the demigods, or what we call nature itself, prakriti kriyamanani. Here, Krishna is pointing out how we are depending on nature. Nature is providing us a body. Nature is providing us a different type of body, mind, ego, intelligence. And we can understand that the body is functioning according to the laws of nature. The law of nature says that everyone has to be dead by 120, isn't it? Mostly 100. The odd person lives over 100. But everyone out. Your time out. Get up, get up. You can write letters, you can complain, you can put big, big building where you can live in a big skyscraper, but come 100, if you're lucky. Most people 60 years of age, 70, out. Come on, get out. Why? Because the next lot has to come in, isn't it? New lot. The old crow has to make way for a new crow. You see? If the old crow is there eating everything, new crow can't get anything. So we are like that. Our body comes here, we are running after this, running after that, running after this and that, and then all of a sudden you find that you have to get out. So nature is providing a particular type of body according to the Kriyamanani. Kriyamanani means that guna karma sarvashaha, that we have a particular type of guna and karma. Just like we are doing activity, we have been doing activity since time immemorial, so we have a particular type of result. Some of us have a nice body, good karma. Some of us have not so nice, bad karma, mediocre karma. So many different types of karma. Otherwise, how do you explain? Where's the explanation? You can't explain that everything is accidental. Otherwise, why don't I become accidentally rich? You see, if everything is accident, then make such an accident that everyone becomes rich. Make that accident. Because accident means something which is quite easy to do. Just like if you drop a whole plate of food. It's not difficult to drop a plate of food, is it? It's difficult to cook a plate of food, but not difficult to drop it. So if accidents are easy, why not make an accident that everyone becomes perfect? Make such an accident. You see, but actually we know that there is no such thing as accident. Everything is working according to very stringent laws, and according to those laws, we have a good life or a bad life. People can deny and say, oh, no, I have a good life because I worked very hard and I made lots of money and therefore now I'm happy. But that's not true, because you must understand that without intelligence, even if you work very hard, it's useless. You see? Without intelligence, if you don't have intelligence. So where is intelligence coming from? Hare Krishna. You can make comfortable. Bring some cushions. Make yourself comfortable. You can open the windows also back. I think it's getting quite hot. The heating's not on, I hope. Welcome. Many people are coming. Hare Krishna. I saw you all at the program. Thank you. So, nature is dependent. Nature is not independent. You see, therefore, in Vedic Sanskrit language, prakriti means that which is dependent. You see, female energy. There is male energy, female energy. Of course, nowadays, they say women's liberation, female is not dependent, independent. So everybody in the world wants to be independent. But actually, whether you're male or female, you're all prakriti. In this world, everyone is prakriti. Everyone is female. You see? Now, that may sound funny. Everyone's female, then I get accused that this is a very strange statement. Because we know some people are male, some people are female. But actually, female means that which depends. You see, that which depends. Now, nature is dependent on laws. There are laws of nature. That's why we say the laws of nature. You see? Because nature is working on the laws. So anything which works on the laws, that means it's dependent on the laws. Just like we are working under the government laws. We're not independent, but we have some independence. But we're not completely independent. You see, so in one sense, we are prakriti. We are not purusha. The word purusha means that is given by Lord Brahma, that the janmadasya, Janma dasya, janma asya, that which everything comes from. Janma, janma, janma means birth. Janma dasya, itaratas, chatesyu, abhigya, and spura. That thing which everything is coming from. He is independent, you see. So in other words, there's difference between the thing which is coming and where it's coming from. Just like sunshine. Sunshine is not independent of the sun. It'd be very funny if you saw sunshine, but you didn't see any sun. Isn't it? Sunshine is the energy of the sun. So these two things, energy and energetic, should be studied very carefully, because Prakriti is the energy. But what is the energetic? You see? Prakriti is not independent. Prakriti is not. Nature is not independent. We may say nature is independent, but it's not independent. Just like your body is not independent. Your body is dependent upon consciousness. You see? If consciousness is not in your body, then your body is useless. It can't do anything. Even if you're a big prime minister or president. Just like President Kennedy was sitting in a car 1 minute, next minute he was useless. You see? Because death had come. So that is the nature of body. When consciousness leaves the body. So we should study this point that nature is dependent, not independent. But that thing which is supporting nature, you see, nature has a support. Just like my body has a support. So that thing which is supporting nature, that is actually what is called Purusha, the energetic. The energetic. Just like this energy and energetic can be understood. To give you an example, Prabhupada gives a very simple example. Suppose someone is beating you with a stick. Okay? Now, is it the person beating you or the stick beating you? Which is it? You see? When the police come, do you say, oh, arrest that stick? I want that stick arrested. Because it beat me. So in one sense, that would be a fair argument. Yes, that the stick is beating me, therefore the stick should be arrested. Or if a bullet kills you, you should arrest the bullet. Is it? You should say, catch that bullet. It killed me. No. So we look a bit deeper, we can say, yes, the stick is beating me, but who is holding the stick? That's more important, isn't it? Because when you plead, you're pleading to the person holding the stick. No good talking to the stick. You see? It's no good talking to a stick, then people will think you're mad. Similarly, nature is acting, but how is it acting? That has to be studied, because nature is acting under the law or rule. So Krishna says, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Chacharacharam Hetuna Nena Kuntaya Jagadviparivartate. Jagadviparivartate, this Jagat. What is the meaning of Jagat? Means this universe, just like we say Jagat, Guru, Jagat. The universe is working. Krishna says, all of this, both animate and inanimate energy, all of this material energy, everything you are seeing is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. So there are two types of beings. One is moving and one is not moving. You see, there are two types of energy, para, apara, superior energy and inferior energy, just like your body is a mixture of superior and inferior energies. In your body, you have superior and inferior, just like your hair is inferior. If you chop your hair off, you don't keep it in a bag, isn't it? Most people don't hang on to the hair. It becomes useless. So hair is good, just like Pata has nice hair. Hair is good when it's connected with the body, you see? So just like even if you have a very beautiful girlfriend, but if she keeps putting her hair in your soup, you see, if every time you have the soup, you're finding her hair in there, then you don't like the girlfriend in your soup, isn't it? So you can say she has beautiful hair, but you don't want it in your soup. So hair, when it's connected with the body, it has superior arrangement, you see? Superior arrangement. Just like our body, when it's connected with the soul, it has superior arrangement. But when the body becomes separated from the soul, then there's inferior arrangement. You see? Similarly, nature, when it's connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, then it has superior arrangement. It has superior arrangement. That is why we call this society International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Very important word. Why? Because by using energy in the service of Krishna, the energy becomes Krishna-conscious energy. Krishna-conscious energy, you see? So how can you say matter can become Krishna-conscious? You see, that table, just like he's using a table. Can you say the table is Krishna-conscious? But because it's been used in the service of God, or every single atom in that table is getting benefit. Even unknowingly, this is called Sukriti, it's getting benefit from being engaged in God's service. So Krishna says, I am the Lord of all animate and inanimate energy. That means that all animate and inanimate energy is meant for His pleasure. That's why He's called Govindam Adi Purushottam. The word Adi means the original. He is called the Adikarta. Adikarta, original enjoyer, original doer. There has to be original, just like energy and energetic. Energy is coming from energetic, but the original doer is the energetic. Just like, to give you an example, here we have trees and plants and so many beautiful things. They're all coming from the sun, isn't it? They're all coming from the sun. As soon as the sun is dead, everything's dead. You can't, just like winter when the sun moves a little further south, then all of these things die. All these trees will lose their leaves. The grass doesn't grow anymore. People become more miserable, isn't it? You see people's faces in winter and faces in summer. They're very different. That's why people always say, oh, a nice day today, and they smile. Because they're affected by the sun. Everything is affected by the sun. So everything is coming from the sun, just like food is coming from by the grace of the sun. You see, without the sun, no food will come, even if you plant so many seeds. You're dependent on the sun and the rain. So many things, but then, anyway, sun is giving life. So, in one sense, the sun is 96 million miles away, so you can say, oh, the sun has nothing to do with me. But you have relationship with the sun, isn't it? There's relationship with the sun. So, the sun is the energetic, and the sunshine is the energy. So, this is called achintya bheda abheda tapa. Simultaneously, there's relationship and not relationship. So when the sunshine is in your room, you can't say the sun planet is in my room. If the sun planet was in your room, you'd have problems, isn't it? You'd have serious problems. So you can enjoy some sunshine, but not too much. You see, you can enjoy not too much sunshine. If you have some, now they're getting worried about ozone layer. So too much sunshine, you get skin cancer. So you get affected. So you can have a certain amount of the energy of the sun, but you can't have the whole sun. You see? Because why? Because you're very tiny. And if you have too much of something, you will suffer. So you have what is called, you function under certain conditions in relationship with the sun. But the sun, the planet itself, you can't say the same for the sun planet. You see? Just like to give you an example, darkness exists when the sun is not there. But there's no shadows on the sun. You see? There's no shadows. If you go to the sun, you won't find any darkness. There's no dark rooms on the sun. You see? So here there are dark rooms because there is less energy. So the energy and the energetic, that should be understood that they are different, but they're one at the same time. They are simultaneously one and yet different. Similarly, God is Govindam Adi Purushottam. He is the supreme creator, the supreme controller, the supreme maintainer, the supreme destroyer. He is governing everything, but at the same time, we are only experiencing a little bit of His energy. You see? A little bit of His energy. We have this energy, a little bit, just like we may say that God's energy in the form of food. This is called anadan. Anadan. Ana means God come in the form of food. So you may say, yes, I like God in the form of food. So you may say, I'm going to eat a mountain of food. But you can't. You can only eat a small amount of food. Even if you're a big rich man, you can only eat chapati and sabji. Because small amount you can take. So that is energy of God, but you are very tiny. So you can only know and experience a small part of God's energy. You see, so what is the energy? The energy is regulated by the control of the energetic. This can be understood in a higher sense, that God is the energetic and He's regulating. He is regulating all the energy. So here, prakriti kriya manani, guna, guna karma sarvashaha, that all of us, we are regulated by that energy. So life means regulated. Birth, old age, disease, death. These are regulations. You see, you may say, hey, I don't want those regulations. I don't like old age. For me, there's no old age. You see, and then people will say you're crazy because you are regulated by time. So time is regulating you. It's regulating how much you enjoy. You may be a billionaire, so like Mr. Gates. What's his name? Billy Gates. Billy. Billy has a lot of money, but will he live to enjoy it all? You see? That's the problem. He may want to enjoy it, but he's regulated by time. And even if he spends $20 billion to get 1 second more, he won't get it. You see? He can't buy time. So you can't buy health. You see, you can't buy many things because they're not within your spending power. Because they are controlled by higher authority, nature. Just like there are many people who are wealthy, but they're blind. They can't buy, you can't buy eyesight. You can't buy so many things. You can say medically we can improve things, but in actuality, everything is regulated. And this regulation is nature. Nature, just like that stick. When the child is naughty, you show them the stick, you see? What are you doing? You're regulating the child. Behave. Otherwise, stick is there. You don't hit children, but you can show them. It's there, you see? So when they see the stick, they say, oh, I don't want to argue with that. So nature is like that. Nature is like a stick. It is regulating you, and it's telling you, behave yourself. Don't be a nonsense, you see? Don't be drinking too much. Otherwise, you will end up in the gutter. There are so many people who like drinking a lot, but they end up in the gutter. You see? Because they misbehave. So you may say, I like to eat a lot. Okay, become too fat. And you get, what is it when you get too fat? You get diabetes, isn't it? You get all sorts of heart problems. So people, even though they love eating, they have to stop it because they get too fat or they get too sick. But they love eating. Similarly, people love smoking. They like sex. But there are so many things saying, okay, you want to do this too much, then I'll punish you. You see? So you can have a little bit. Just like Prabhupada says, salt is very nice if you put it on a subject. But if you put too much, if you say, I like salt, so you put a whole kilo. You see? Then what is the use? So life is like that. You can enjoy, but you must regulate. You see, Krishna is not saying don't enjoy. But you must regulate your enjoyment because why? Why should you regulate? After all, my nature is to enjoy. So why should there be regulations? Nobody likes regulations. It's like one person said, everything I like is either prohibited, bad for you, or criminal. You see, so in life, many things we like, they are not allowed by the state or the government, or they're not allowed by the social restrictions, moral restrictions. So why? Why are all these restrictions there? Restricted activity. We are restricted because we don't belong here. Try and understand that. We don't belong here. So Krishna is restricting us to let us know you don't belong here. You see, just like when they put someone in prison, why do they restrict him when he's in prison? They don't restrict him when he gets out. As soon as he walks out the door, there's no more restriction. Or there's limited, not as much restriction. But when he's in prison, they restrict him. Why? Why is there restriction? You must question that. Why in prison there's restriction? Is it to be vindictive? To cause people unnecessary anxiety? Is it to be torturous? No. The idea of restriction is to let that person know that you don't belong here and don't come back. Isn't it? Don't come back here. You see, that's the idea. So you can say government are very cruel. In prison they have all sorts of restrictions. There are bars on the doors. You can only see your family once a month. You can only eat at this time. You can watch television at that time. Things are there, but they're restricted, you see. So, does it mean that because there's restriction in the prison, there's restriction everywhere? No. Similarly, you should understand that the material energy is a restricting energy. That's why it's called the limited energy of God. Because it's to restrict the living entities who are rebellious of God. That, okay, you want to be independent of me, you want to carry on independently without me, but at least I will show you that you cannot exist like that. You see? Just like sometimes the father, Christians use the same example. The son wants to be independent of the father, but he wants all the money from the father. But the father said, no, no, if I give him all the money, this fellow will surely do some nonsense. So he restricts it. They put it in a trust. Every year you get so much money, isn't it? If you have a child, you put it in a trust. Why? You don't want to restrict. It's your child. You love your child, but you know that this fool will do anything. Confirmed, you see? This fool will do anything. So there must be a regulation. You see, what is the idea of a trust? Is to regulate the flow of money. So this fool won't waste his time getting intoxicated and getting like this and that. So similarly, in society there is regulation. But these regulations are not there simply for the sake of regulation. They're there so as that one can practice spiritual life. You see? One must practice. Therefore, the body is functioning according to material laws, but the soul functions according to spiritual freedom. That's why there's two words used in Sanskrit, Mahatma and Duratma. Mahatma means one whose mind is broad-minded, but it also means one whose consciousness is broad. Broad-minded means broad consciousness. And Duratma means one who is narrow-minded. You see, material energy, when you take shelter of material energy, it makes you more narrow. You know, narrow? It restricts you more and more. Those who are more and more. That's why animal life means bigger restriction. You see, what's the difference between human and animal? Bigger restriction. That's all. An animal eats, they have nose. There are animals with big noses. We have nose, they have big noses. Does that mean they're better than us because they have big nose? They're animals with big ears. And they have big everything. But does that mean because they have big bodies, they are better? So what is the difference between the human and the animal? Is less restriction. You see, we are living just like we're not living in the field. They're living in a field. If we sit in a field every night in the freezing cold, we'll be crying. But an animal can sit there because his body is more restricted. He doesn't think of going to Hawaii or going to Disneyland in Florida or going out to the pub. He's not thinking of all these things. If he was thinking of all those things in a field, he'd go mad. Isn't it? Suppose he was standing there for all his life thinking about, oh, I could have caught a 747 and gone to the Taj Mahal. But instead I'm here eating grass and getting cold. Huh? So he's not thinking like that. So that means what is restricted is consciousness. Consciousness is restricted. So the body is manifested from consciousness. So the more you become implicated in material energy, the more your consciousness becomes degraded. Therefore, you get different types of body according to degradation or elevation. If you become more degraded, just like if you always want to sleep, then you get a body which is good for sleeping, like a bear or something. You can hibernate 6 months a year. Some people love sleeping. They can get a sleepy body. Or you may like lots of sex. You can have sex every 5 minutes. You see? Unlimited. Or you like to swim in water, fishy body. So there are many, many millions and billions of different permutations, mutations of matter. And these are all different types of restriction. So material happiness is not a liberated thing, it's a restricted thing. Many people think that happiness means freedom. It doesn't mean freedom, it means more restriction. You see? More restriction, because the more you try to exploit material energy, the more you become implicated in the reaction. That is called karma. You see? So the sages of old, or the sages, Vedic sages, they're teaching us that actually instead of becoming a servant of the senses, one must become a master of the senses. You see, one must become the master within the body. The body is like a city. It has different gates. The tongue is a gate, ears are gates, eyes are gates, etc. These are gates. What comes in the gate, you see? Sense gratification. Sense gratification comes in the eyes, it comes in the ears, you see? Sense gratification comes in the tongue. So, therefore, the sense gratification is coming in, but you have to be the master. Master means you control what is coming in, making sure that you don't become overly bewildered by this thing. Now, why would you want to control it? Because one has to understand the first principle, and that is that atata brahma jignasya, that I am not material, I am spiritual. Without that principle, the whole society is useless, you see? Unless it's like having the one before all the zeros. Unless you have the one before all the zeros, you may say, I have 50 million zeros in my bank account. I'm a very rich man. But if there's not a one before it, they're all useless. As soon as you put one before it, it all becomes meaningful. Similarly, energy, unless you put the energetic principle first, the energy itself becomes inferior energy. So when you, just like noughts are inferior, a nought is not, it's an inferior thing to have many noughts. But superior means one, eka bhuvanam. Eka bhuvanam means that this original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, when you put Krishna there, everything becomes meaningful in an unlimited way. You see? Everything becomes meaningful because one can understand that I am the energy and this is the energetic. Now, the energy is to be enjoyed by the energetic. Energy means that which is created by the energetic. Just like the parents, they create the child. Now, why do people have a child? There's no logical reason to have a child, except that you get pleasure from the child, isn't it? You see? There's pleasure. There's pleasure in bringing up a child, seeing the child grow, so many things. So that child is pleasure potency of the family. Pleasure. That means there's pleasure potency, sex life, pleasure. From that pleasure comes another pleasure. Can be misery also, but at least pleasure. So that pleasure is there. So families are happy when they have some pleasure potency. So we are the pleasure potency of God. We are created by God for pleasure. Now, because similarly in a relationship with a child, at some point you give the child independence. That child can decide, I no longer want to be part of the pleasure-giving potency. I want to be the enjoyer. When a child becomes an enjoyer in a family, then the problems start, isn't it? Because dad's car goes missing, his money goes missing, everything goes missing. And you say, hey, son, what's going on here? And you say, hey, dad, it's my turn to enjoy now. You can go to the old people's home. You see, that's a crude example, but it's there. So, similarly, we are pleasure potency of Krishna. We are to be enjoyed. Enjoy doesn't mean one way, it means reciprocation. But if we want to be independent, Krishna also says, okay, here's your independence, take it. But because we're minute, we can only take a minute part. Just like that son, he can't take everything. He can take whatever the father gives him, whatever is his allocated amount. Just like the father, he may say to the father, Dad, I want everything and you get lost. But Dad says, oh no, son, it's not your property. It's my property. You take this amount and you go. You come to an arrangement. So similarly, the living entity, when he wants to be independent of Krishna, then Krishna says, okay, here is your arrangement. Material arrangement, you see? Inferior arrangement. But one who is intelligent, he can understand that that inferior arrangement is inadequate. Inadequate arrangement, you see? So therefore, material energy means inadequate energy. Everything about this world is inadequate. Inadequate. So therefore, this is God's mercy. This is Krishna's mercy because he's making the living entity understand without God, everything is inadequate. You see? Everything is inadequate. Just like when the sun is not there, you may have so many candles, but it's inadequate. You see? What good is your candle? You may go around all over the world trying to light up the world. Suppose you decide that your candle is very powerful, so you stand above the ocean and light up the ocean. You see, your candle is very tiny. So it's natural for the small to identify with the great. But the small can never be the great. You see, everybody wants to be great. But to be great and want to be great is vast difference. So the candle cannot light up. But when the sun comes, immediately everything is lit without any effort. Then your candle becomes useless. Similarly, our independence is very, very tiny. And we may think it's very important. You see, we may be thinking, oh, I'm such a big man, I'm so important, I have so much money and wealth and followers. But in comparison to God, it is nothing. You see? Nothing. Just like we are sitting on one planet. There are billions of planets. And within this universe, this planet is only a piece of dust. And within this one planet, there are so many countries. And we are sitting in one little country, England, only a small island. And on that island, there are so many cities and towns and villages, and there's one place called Birmingham. Within that, there are so many districts in Birmingham. And within those districts, there's so many houses. And within those houses, there's so many rooms. Within one room, we are sitting there thinking that everything is happening by our arrangement. You see, this is the nature of ego. We think that because we exist, therefore, everything has relationship to our existence. But in actuality, everything is existing on our head. We are servant of everything. But nobody wants to be servant of God because they think that that's a weakness. But that's stupid. What does it do? What's the last thing the body does? It lets you down. There's a joke about the undertaker. He's the last guy to finally let you down. Put you in the grave. So the body lets you down. So you're serving your body day and night, looking after it, making sure it gets nice this and nice that, and it's so many nice things should come to this body. But then what does it do? Gradually it becomes more and more invalidated by time, becomes more and more useless. So Krishna is saying, don't simply serve your body, serve Krishna. Then everything will be perfect. Okay, we stop here. Any questions? There must be one question amongst everyone. You have a question? Yeah? Okay. Anyone have a question? Pandaji.
How can you say that everyone
feminine energy. Feminine means that which is dominated. There are two things, the dominated and the dominator. You see? Two things, always. Either you're dominated or you're a dominator. So you have to decide, am I dominating everything or am I being dominated by everything? So, therefore, when you talk about nature, prakriti, nature is dominating you. You see, this is the study of nature, nature study. Is it dominating you or are you dominating it? You see? Just like your body. You can say, I am the dominator of my body. I'm dominating the body. So then you study the functions of the body. Which ones are the ones that you want? Think of all the functions your body does. Which is the one that you want? You want that function. So you created that function. You see? All of the functions of the body are going on whether you want them or don't want them. That means you're not the dominator. Because to be the dominator means to be the controller and to be the creator. You have to be the creator and the controller. You see? So to be the creator and the controller means that then you can say, I created this body, okay, therefore I'm the dominator, because I created it. And therefore you can say, okay, what is it about the body that you're dominating? You see? So people think that, well, I'm dominating when I'm enjoying. This is when I'm dominating. But if you study then the so-called enjoyment of the body, they are all dependencies. They're not enjoyments. Enjoyment can't be a dependency. You see? It can't be a dependency. Because if your enjoyment is based upon a dependency, then that thing which you're dependent upon, that's your dominator. You understand that point? As soon as you're dependent upon something, that is your dominator. You're being dominated by that thing you're dependent upon. So, in order to be a dominator, or to be a controller, or to be God, you need to be independent. And you need to be the creator and controller. So these things are exclusively, janma dasya, means that which everything is coming from, and Chateshya Bhigyasvarat, that God is completely, fully cognizant and fully independent. Fully cognizant. You see, we are not fully conscious. If we were fully conscious, then we would have some quality of domination. For instance, you may say, this is my body. Okay, how many hairs are on your body? It's your body, you should know how many hairs are on your head. You see? So, the body, you can say, okay, this is my body. This is my body. Okay, now which thing inside the body do you like to keep the most? What is it that's so great about the body? So you say, oh, I very much like that big tube, intestine. That's my favorite tube. You see? So when people come to visit me, I pull it out and show them. Here, look. You see, the body is a machine made up of different functions. It's functioning. That means that it's created by someone else to function in a certain way. You didn't create the body. You were created. And therefore you function under that person who created you. That's how you function. You don't function on your own independence. That means someone can say that, okay, eating is means I have to collect money buy food, so I'll stop eating. We can't. You see? We can't stop sleeping. We can't stop fearing. We can't stop suffering of the mind, suffering from the body, suffering from other living entities. Therefore, everything about us is totally dependent. So we have to search out that person who is independent. That is the search for God. The search for God is the search for the person who's independent. That's why when you study God in any religion, he should be independent. You see? He can't be also dependent. If God is dependent on government handouts, social security. Or if God is dependent upon something within his creation, then that is not really independent. That means whatever he's dependent upon, that is God. So God means that thing which is completely independent, swarat. You see? So, therefore, when we talk about Purusha Prakriti, we are talking about the difference between the independent Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, we say that Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Adinade Anade Adi Govinda Sarva Karna Karna. That Ishvara means the Supreme Controller. There's no greater controller than Ishvara. Parama. Parama means Supreme. Krishna. Krishna means that personality who is the supreme controller, Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. His body is Satchit Ananda. Sat means ever existent. He never decays, never subject to decay. So he is Satchit. Chit means that he has unlimited cognizance. What is the meaning of unlimited cognizance? That means he's conscious of every single atom within his creation. Unlimited consciousness. So Satchit Ananda, he is full of unlimited pleasure. He has unlimited pleasure. Not unlimited like a lot of pleasure. He has unlimited means where there's no counting. So that means that his energy is full of pleasure. Satchit Ananda Vigraha, that form embodies all of that. So in other words, even though God is unlimited, he has the potential, the unlimited power to be a person. That is a great thing to understand, how the unlimited can become a person. Because we are limited persons, so we cannot understand how there could be unlimited person. So, Satchidananda Vigraha, and Adi Adi Govinda, Adi, that means that he is the cause of all causes. You see, everything has cause and effect. So we are studying the effect, that's the meaning of Prakriti. Prakriti means the effect. And Purusha means the cause of that effect. You see, the cause of the effect. So we are the effect, we are effectual, we are affected by the modes of material nature. And he is the creator of everything. Therefore he is fully the cause of all causes. So when you talk about Purusha, you mean the cause of all causes. That is Purusha. Just like a man who created a company, he's the enjoyer of the company. Because he created it. And he's the controller also. If you go into a company, you get a job and say, hey, you, managing director, get out of here. I'm taking over today. You probably last 5 minutes. Because he created the company, he controls the company. Doesn't matter who you think you are. You have no right to take his company because he created it and he controls it. So crude example, God created the universe, he controls the universe, and therefore he has a right to enjoy everything within the universe. Now we are thinking, I have the right. You see? So we are thinking, I have the right, but we have no right on anything because we didn't create anything. Usually you only create confusion. So the most we can say is I can enjoy the confusion because I created it, isn't it? And some people live in total confusion. So in one sense, you could say that's their lot. Like man. Man is very intelligent, but what is he creating? A mess. You see, nature has already done everything, but they're thinking, oh, we're so intelligent, we'll create something, but they create a mess. The rivers are pure, so they pollute them. The air is pure, they pollute it. Their bodies are pure, they pollute them. Their society, they pollute. Everything they pollute. And then when it's all a big pollution, what do? They kill each other. Fight. War. So they are not, even in the most simplest sense, to be called enjoyers, because an enjoyer is someone who can actually enjoy. We are not actually enjoying. It seems like we're enjoying, but we're not. We're not enjoying. What we're doing is giving some pleasure to material senses through material objects. Both the senses and the objects are totally out of our control. That's why we try to control the air, we try to control the land, we can try to control the music, we try to control the building, the aesthetics. All of these things we try to control, to bring them into our service in a measurable amount that we can enjoy. Like water. Water is very enjoyable, but not if you have 100 million gallons. Isn't it? You see? You may say, oh, I love water. But if there's 100 billion gallons coming in your room. You see? But God can enjoy 100 billion gallons. You see? That's the difference. Because he's God. So therefore, if you want to measure God, then you have to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Because everything Krishna does is immeasurable. That answer your question or still?
I have one more question. You said nothing happens by accident. Why did you create enjoyment by accident?
Yeah, they say that things are coming by accidental arrangement or some big bang or some sort of...
It's all arranged then.
Everything is arranged. Fully.
Why is it saying that art? Why is that? Who arranged the people, like children to be born diseased and some suffering in the world?
That's arrangement of material nature. Material nature is making that arrangement. You see?
Is that fair?
You can't question material nature whether she's fair or not. Material nature is working under what is called the rules and laws of God. So, therefore, unquestionable. This is called axiomatic truth. For every single thing going on in nature, it is all perfect arrangement, perfect and complete. So, whenever it happens, just like you may say that in hospital, if you go to a hospital, you will say, oh, look at these people in hospital. They're suffering. You see? They're suffering. Now, their suffering is beyond your control and is beyond their control. The only thing you're sure about is their suffering. But behind that suffering, there's an arrangement. You see? Nothing goes on without the plan of God. So that suffering, just like to give you an example, when anyone good happens to someone, they take the credit. I just won the lottery. Oh, well done. I'm a millionaire. Or I made so much money on the stock exchange. When some disaster happens, they blame God. What sort of God is this? You see? You never hear people when they win the lottery, oh, God is great, I won the lottery. No. They won it or they did some big business deal. But when things go wrong, God, it's him, God, G-O-D, he's at it again, get him arrested. You see? So they blame God when it goes wrong. What they don't understand is right or wrong. Whether it's right or wrong, it's all wrong. You see? It's all wrong. Just like in hospital, you may say, oh, this guy only lost one leg. But this guy lost his arms and his legs. So you can say, relatively, this guy's better off. He only lost one leg. This is called relativity, you see? You can say, I'm better than that person in hospital because I'm not in hospital. But you're also in hospital, but you're in a different hospital because everyone gets old, diseased, and dies. So you may say that, oh, I mean, Prabhupada gives an example that in India they have this cow dung, you know, they burn cow dung. So they have new cow dung and old cow dung. When it's old, they burn it. When it's new, they stick it on the wall to dry it out. So the new cow dung is laughing at the old cow dung. Hey, you're going to be burnt today. You see, he's having a laugh. It's your turn today. But I'm sitting on the wall. I'm enjoying, look, so much countryside I'm seeing. But you're going to be burnt today. So I'm going to laugh at you when you're burnt. But next day, his day will come, you see. So you can say that, oh, this person is suffering. I'm not suffering. What a terrible God, this person is suffering. But everyone is suffering. Every single thing happening in this world is dukkhalayam. Dukkhalayam means suffering. But you may see it that my suffering is less than his suffering. Therefore, why does God make him suffer? But the whole arrangement of nature is to waking you that you do not belong in the plane of suffering. You don't belong here. Now, if you're stupid, more stupid, then the suffering becomes more. If you're more intelligent, it becomes less. So therefore, you are the architect of your destiny. You may say that, what did that person do to do that activity? Who knows? But the point is that anyone who's in the material world has to suffer. Now, the degree of suffering or when it happens or how it happens, relative.
Why doesn't he arrange?
Because suffering is his kindness. His kindness. It's his mercy. Therefore, Maya is called affection. The affection of God, you see? The only reason people turn to God is because of suffering. Practically speaking, 90% of all people who turn to God is because of suffering. There are very few cases of people turning to God because they became Mr. Rockefeller and they became big, big businessmen. They became big, big money wallets. There are very few cases in the history of mankind. All the great saints were all poor. If you take all the Christian saints, practically, most of them were all in rags. In the Hindu religion, most of them were in rags. You see? The Goswamis, all of them, what are they wearing? Pieces of cloth. Look, on that altar, how many people are wearing little bits of cloth? You see? But if you go and see how many kings have come in India, how many rich people have come in India, how many of them, just like in India now, you go and see how many politicians sitting in the Lok Sabha, what they call it, the house, how many of them are becoming more religious, you see? Because the nature of the material world is like fire. The child touches the fire, and then it won't touch again. You see? The mother is saying, child, don't touch fire, don't touch fire, don't touch fire. The child is saying, no, I'm touching, I'm child. I want to touch. It looks nice. It glitters. But when it touches the fire, it won't touch again, you see? So nature is there to waken you. Maybe sometimes you think, oh, this is very harsh, waken it. But this is the mercy of God to give you extra special. Now you may say, okay, in this lifetime, a person is too disqualified by their physical body or whatever. But that is all a big machine. Nature is a big machine. What is happening in this life is preparing you for next life. It's not a one-life show. You may go through millions of life, but the ultimate goal of nature is to take you back to Godhead. Nature is created, material nature is created to take you back to home, back to Godhead.
Yeah, some people might say that, well, I don't believe in a second life.
They may believe or not believe. You may not believe that the ice is cold, but it's cold. No, many people have never seen ice.
Yeah, but how can you prove that?
Exactly. If you go to a country where they've never seen ice and say ice is cold, they may say, I don't believe you. What is cold? I've never seen cold. You say, no, ice is very cold. You say, I don't care. I don't believe in cold. I've never seen cold. I've never felt cold. So how are you? Just like Prabhupada said, when he first saw snow, he thought they whitewashed all the buildings. He never seen snow. He thought, oh, they're whitewashing all the buildings. He didn't know why.
Excuse me, can I ask you a question? You just said that it is an arrangement.
Yeah.
Does that mean that it's Kali Yuga?
Mm.
So are you trying to say that Krishna's arranged Kali Yuga in order to see or awaken all of us and surrender to his lotus feet and actually awaken us from ignorance or...
Mm. The whole material arrangement is to bring the soul back to God. The arrangement, you may say that the arrangement is not a very good one. But if it was a good one, you wouldn't go back. You see?
Krishna is actually testing us then.
Yeah, testing. Nature is testing to see how much determined you are to leave this place. You see? So when people say that I am very nice in this place, then that's a curse. You see, if someone says to you, I hope you become happy and wealthy and full of money and have a big house in Hawaii and this and that, that's a curse. Why are you cursing me, you should say. You see? But if someone says to you, I hope you lose everything and only get God, that's a blessing. So when people used to come to Prabhupada, they used to say, Swami, give me your blessings. Prabhupada said, if I give you my blessings, you'll become annoyed. He said, no, Swami, you give me. He said, okay, you lose everything. And become Krishna Bhakta. Oh no, Swami, don't give me that one. Give me the other one. The one which says that I get lots of money and I have a nice this and big that. You see, everybody wants to get big thing in this world because they want to have something substantial. But they don't know the only substantial thing is God. This world is not substantial. Just like if I give you a room full of money. This room full of money. It's paper. It's not substantial. Your mind is pacified. Now I have a whole room, 10 million, 20 million pounds. Now something substantial has happened to me. But nothing substantial has happened because if you're hungry, you can't eat one piece of paper. You see? So what is substantial is food. But food comes from God. You understand? What is substantial is your family, but your family comes from God. There's no chemical company that produces food. There's no chemical company that produces children or anything. All of the natural things in nature come from God. So why not find out God? Why find out these other things? They're just coming from Him. You see? You're getting little drop of rain. You see, in the desert. In the desert there's some rain, little rain. But you want to quench your thirst. Don't go to the desert to get the drops of rain. Go to the rain cloud, you see? So we are coming to this world to enjoy, but we don't know where the enjoyment is coming from. We think it comes, just like the Prabhupada gives the example, the scorpion goes in the bag of rice and it lays its egg. So sometimes the scorpion comes out of the rice. So many people think the scorpion is born from rice. You see? But similarly, because we are living in this world, we are thinking that things are coming out of this world. Nothing is coming out of the world except by the arrangement of Krishna. So better to find out Krishna. But we are trying to enjoy His arrangement. But this is inferior arrangement, therefore we're getting an inferior experience. Simple.
So does that mean that if we actually turn to God? Because we were trying to be happy.
Mm.
Some people think we're going to be happy in Hawaii with that house.
Yeah.
With that money, whatever it is. Because they just want to be happy, they want to enjoy. Mm. So you're saying enjoyment with Krishna is going to be higher or better?
Yes.
You're going through all that trouble.
But you see, there's no enjoyment in the material world. There's no enjoyment in the material world. You see? Not only temporary, but because that so-called enjoyment of the material world is very, very inferior. It's not real enjoyment. It's like, for instance, suppose that you are very itchy. You know, you ever had eczema or something like that. You're very itchy. So when you're scratching, you think, oh, this is lovely. I'm having a nice scratch. But you can't say that that's a superior enjoyment. You see, because you're having a good scratch. Like if someone says to you, how did you enjoy your day yesterday? Oh, I had a great scratch. You see? Then they say, well, what sort of enjoyment is that? Similarly to the material world, because we're suffering when we get some relief. We say, oh, enjoyment has come. You see? A person is suffering all day, then he goes to the pub, another suffering, drinking. Then he goes, oh, I'm really enjoying. You know, he's carried home in an ambulance. I had such a great night last night. I don't remember what happened. So one suffering is another suffering, you see? Another suffering. So when you get relief from that suffering, then you think I'm enjoying. So the next day he says, oh, I enjoyed tonight. And they say, how did you enjoy tonight? I didn't go to the pub. That's why I'm enjoying. Because last night I went, I ended up in the hospital. So now tonight I'm enjoying because I didn't go. You see? It's all craziness. It's not enjoyment. It's relief. You see? If someone is thinking I'll be enjoyed because I'll find a nice girl and marry her. And then she's nagging so much, he goes to the pub to get away. So that's the enjoyment. If you ask him, why are you in the pub? To get away from my wife. But you married her to enjoy. Yes, but now I'm enjoying getting away from her. Is it? So this is not enjoyment. This is escape or relief. Your body is itching. Just like you're hungry. So you're saying, oh, I ate a big meal. I enjoyed. No, your body is hungry. That's why you're eating. It's not enjoyment. It's relief.
So is there enjoyment?
Not in the real sense. It's trickery. Maya means not this. Maya means not this. It appears, but it's not real. Just like your body, you may say most of your pleasure you squeeze from the body. You see? But if you dissect the body and hang it up, which part is giving you the most pleasure? You see? It's all just tubes and pipes and this and that and the other. You can't say that, oh yes, this kidney gave me so much pleasure last year. So I wish I had 8 kidneys. You see? Because they're all giving you something. But they're all simply a machine made up of nature, you see? Machine. It's a machine. So you're sitting in the machine. Just like you're going along the motorway in a car, you're feeling very happy. As soon as the steering wheel goes, you're feeling sad. So just before you hit the wall, you escape and you go, oh, I'm happy now. Because I would have been dead. Now I feel happy. You see? It's not happiness. You're simply being thrown around by the laws of nature. Sometimes you're getting this part. Just like one man's food is another man's poison. The cockroach gets a little food on the floor, he's happy. What sort of happiness is that? Do you want to be a cockroach eating on the floor? But he's thinking, oh, look at this food is lying there. His belly is full, he goes home and sleeps with his wife. He's happy. So the same thing is going on in whatever body. But you're thinking, because I'm enjoying better than cockroach. He's eating on the floor, I'm eating a nice table in my room watching Sky TV. He hasn't got Sky TV. But even if you give him Sky TV, what's he going to do with it? He's a cockroach. You see? He doesn't watch Sky TV. So he's also enjoying. You're enjoying. But his enjoyment is different because he has a different body. But it doesn't mean you're having superior. You see? If you have a big plate of food and he has only a little food, he's happy with that little food. You're happy with a big plate. But that doesn't mean that your enjoyment is superior to his food. He's also getting full belly. He's also sleeping. He also has wife and grandmothers and families. He has all the things. He has a little hut inside the wall. You see? Living by the radiator. And he pays no rent. He has no credit cards. No, he hasn't borrowed money from the bank. So when he goes out, he's just looking. Food has come. He's happy. So you may say, oh, I'm so superior than him. But in actuality, all the bodies that are existing in this world, they're all dependent on something. And if they're getting that something, they think they're happy. But that's not happiness. That is called conditional life. Different conditions. That's all. So the conditions are there. You are existing within those conditions. That is not either happiness nor distress. It is simply different conditions of matter. That's why it says here, Prakriti Kriyamanani. It's all created by matter. It's an arrangement of matter. And all you're doing is you're moving with that force of energy. And you'll come and you disappear. You're like a stage. You come into this world, you make a big fuss and you go out. Nobody cares that you came and nobody cares that you went. You see? When you're gone from this world, who cares? Your mom will cry. Maybe she's not there. Your father may not be there. Who's there? You see, how many people have gone from this world, and who really knows where they came from, where they went, why they came, what they did when they came, where they go, you see? Just like there's so many insects coming out at night, in the morning they're dead. Who cares? Big fuss at night, they're flying, And you think, wow, millions of insects are flying in India, you see. By morning, it's all quiet again. You see? Like a stage show. But neither was it important that they were doing all that, and neither is it important that they're not doing it anymore. It's just part of nature. See, nature's arrangement. So nature is a, if you like, shadow of God's energy. Just like the shadow. You can say, my shadow is doing all sorts of things on the floor. Well, the shadow, it's not real. It's not important. Okay, we're going to stop there. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavad Gita.